Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your host, Kel Fritzy. She's the infidel your imam warned you about, and there's no holding her back as she shares her opinions, insights, information, and outrage discussing the political entity known as Islam. We are at a critical juncture in our history, and if the threat of Islam is not faced up front, right now, then we will lose the freedoms of individuality, civic justice, and autonomy of thought we rightly enjoy, and instead see our values replaced with kinetic and civilizational jihad, Sharia law, and oppression permanently. Don't let the memory of our soldiers, past and present, go in vain. It is up to us to protect the legacy for which they fought so hard. We have an obligation to honor their memory today and for future generations. Join Kel Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Blog Talk Radio. But leave your political correctness well away from her phone lines and chat room. And be warned, Kel takes no prisoners.
GoDamnMedia.com.
Changes.
We are justified in doing anything we can to survive.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Red Fox Blogger with your humble host, Kel Fritzy. Well, I'm having quite an interesting day. Well, actually, I didn't have a day. I had no day. I had no day at all. Exhaustion caught up with me, and I ended up sleeping very, very long. But that's okay. You know what? Because I finally got a little bit of a break. Yeah. You see, when you do what I do, which I hope I do so well, should I sound like Dr. Seuss? Oh, boy. Sometimes I burn the midnight oil like you wouldn't believe, and something crosses my desk, and I can't let it go. And I stay on it, and I stay on it. Sometimes I can be up until 5 o'clock in the morning working on an article, for example, because it's got to get out there, and I've got to get it down pat. But I leave myself short. And my body finally says, look, I'm taking you to bed, and you're going to sleep. So that's what happened today. Oh, boy. And I even missed one of my absolute favorite radio shows in the whole wide world. And you also know that I'm biased. I produced for the East Anglian EDL radio show. And I was looking at my clock, and I'm going, oh, my God. Jeff! But, yes, I produce and do some back legwork for the East Anglian EDL radio show, which I'm very proud of.
If you are sick and tired of listening to the lies you hear from politicians and the mainstream media about Islam, and you want to hear the truth about the crimes that are committed in its name in your country and all around the world, then please tune in to the East Anglian EDL radio show on blogtalkradio.com on Thursdays, Fridays and Sundays at 8:30 GMT and 3:30 EDT. For analysis, updates and news about Islam without any of the lies and political correctness that you hear in the mainstream media, and for updates, news and information about the English Defence League, then come and join us on Blog Talk Radio. You can also listen to all our previous broadcasts at any time by visiting the East Anglian EDL Radio Show archive. The East Anglian EDL Radio Show, the official radio show of the English Defence League.
One of my shows, and I missed it. Forgive me, Jeff and Tommy. But, oh, well, you know what? That's the beauty of working as a team. Everybody understands that the scourge never gives us a break, but once in a while we're forced to take one. It's called sleep. But, actually, I am very happy to see people filing in. That warms me cockles, it does. I've got Agador here. I got Kath here. Eric from Kyrgyzstan is here. Eric Kyle is here. Golf Dogs. Rock and Ron is here. Lady Michelle. Paul Alexander. And my Poppy from across the sea, who lives too far away from me because I cannot have tea in her kitchen. And that saddens me. We also have Sue from New Mexico listening on the line, and I have Tommy English here, and he's got his hand raised, and I'm going to bring Tommy on in a minute. But I do want to share with you there were some programming changes because my guest, he was called into work at the last moment. But what I did is that I interviewed a very fine gentleman named Tony Venuti of the Power of 10. And I pre-taped this because of our scheduling conflict and the time zones. He works odd hours as well as my guest, Chris, who was going to be on tonight. So a few changes here and there, but that's okay. We roll with the punches and we get along. However, Christopher Logan of Logan's Warning, he sent this to me. And I was like, wow, okay. Care is afraid to debate Christopher Logan on the Red Fox Blogger Show. That's right. You see, Christopher Logan, he got into a discussion with Samantha L. Bowden. I will fill you in on who she is in a moment. But she was featured prominently on Trentovision. The United West. He got in touch with her, and he challenged her. I'm going to be on the Red Fox Blogger. You want to come on and talk to me there? And she chickened out. Yeah, Care Bully Cowers from Debate Challenge on the Red Fox Blogger Talk Radio Show. So there you go. My inadvertent, but it's something all the same that I can be proud of. In here, I'm going to post the article in the chat room for you. There you go. So my little claim to fame right there. Now, to fill you in on who this woman is, I'm going to bring it up right now and tell you what she did. And no, don't start yet. Oh, you're an eager one, aren't you? Now, she was confronted by Tom Trento at the Council on American and Islamic Relations on October 1st, they had a meeting. Now, Samantha Bowden, she drove 85 miles from her home in Tampa, Florida, in that area, to the University of Central Florida. Now, Ms. Bowden's objective was to stalk Professor Jonathan Matuszewski during one of his classes. Oh, by the way, she's not registered for the class. Now, upon being interviewed the next day, Samantha Bowden admitted to have intruded Dr. Massett's classroom. Ms. Bowden is currently under police investigation. A police report was filed against Ms. Bowden because Section 228-091 Florida statute enacted by CH68-3 addresses specific violations on non-university persons accessing instructional areas of state institutions without proper permission. Okay? So what's this broad doing here? Well, we'll get to that in a minute. The University of Central Florida regulations mirrors the relevant Florida statutes. So, yeah, she was trespassing, guys. Now, only students registered for a class may be in attendance in instructional areas unless permission of the instructor is given. The instructor, as the designee of the Vice President for Administration and Finance, is authorized to warn non-students that they are trespassing and must leave the area of instruction or be arrested for trespass. Now, any such incident would be reported to the university police. Non-university persons are not allowed in classroom buildings unless present or authorized university business dictates. So quite the interesting development going on here. What's this Samantha up to? Okay. On October 1st, 2013, in my 12 p.m. to 1:15 p.m. classroom, Communication Building Room 111, as I started teaching my class, I noticed that a female stranger was sitting at the back of the classroom. That person never asked me if she could enter my class and sit in the back of the classroom. When I approached her, that person introduced herself as Samantha. Because Samantha is not one of my students, I asked her to leave. In the beginning, she was insisting to stay in my class. I had to ask her a few times before she finally left. a few minutes after she left. I recognized that Samantha, quote unquote, her full name, by the way, is Samantha Bowden, Communication and Outreach Director of CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, was based in Tampa. She is not a University of Florida student and never was a University of Florida student. Now, this is the question that looms large, okay? Why was a high-profile CARE representative stalking this professor in his classroom? He goes on to say, indeed, Samantha Bowden entered my class without asking me and without obtaining my authorization. Samantha's presence and observation of my class on October 1st, 2013 were violations of Florida statutes. I felt threatened by her actions, so I filed a report with the UCF Police Department. If Samantha Bowden should stalk Dr. Matusiewicz again on the UCF campus, she will be arrested without further warning pursuant to law. Samantha Bowden and Hassan Shibley, they should be fired because the Council on American Islamic Relations, it bills itself as a tax-exempt 501c-3 civil rights organization. That's right, your tax dollars, folks. CARE Florida Director Hassan Shibley must have known his employee Samantha Bowden would be targeting and violating the civil rights of Dr. Matusiewicz at his place of employment by entering restricted areas violating Florida statutes and UCF regulations. If Hassan Shibley did not know Ms. Bowden would be stalking Dr. Matusiewicz, he had an obligation to fire Samantha Bowden immediately for her actionable behaviors. Now, Shibley and Bolden had been conducting a 5-month-long smear campaign against Dr. Matusiewicz, which has been embarrassingly unsuccessful. Frustrated by their repeated failures, CARE Florida could possibly have conducted its only option left, and that was to illegally enter his classroom, his private classroom, for purposes only known to them. Now, ironically, on the same day, Samantha Bowden was illegally trespassing and stalking Dr. Matusiewicz. Her boss, Hassan Shibley, was given an interview when he said, I was always passionate about seeking justice for those that are wronged. In this case, Ms. Shibley's employee, Samantha Bowden, wronged Dr. Jonathan Matusiewicz by illegally stalking him in his classroom. The very next day on the UCF campus, Ms. Bowden incriminated herself on video at a rally, the same professor she stalked a day earlier. Now, will CARE right this wrong? Now, the only way to seek justice and right this wrong, Mr. Shelby, is for you to fire Samantha Bowden. Next, you and Ms. Bowden should personally apologize to Professor Matusiewicz, Dean Johnson, and UCF President Dr. John Hitt for violating the UCF regulations by stalking Professor Jonathan Matusiewicz in his classroom. The University of Central Florida Board of Trustees should follow the actions of the FBI and sever all ties to the Council on American Islamic Relations. The UCF Board of Trustees should consider the appropriate action of restricting all student government organizations from affiliating with CARE National and its state-run franchises in accordance with FBI guidelines. It indeed isn't that correct. And this is what Christopher Logan was discussing when he confronted Samantha Bowden and challenged her to come on the Red Fox Blogger and have a chat about it. And CARE, well, they declined. But I have a little bit of audio here I want to share with you. This is Samantha Bowden incriminating herself.
My name is Sam Bowden. I work with CARE Florida. I wanted to reach out to the MSA because I figured if any students would actually find common cause with one of CARE's campaigns.
Well, why was there a police report filed against you yesterday for stalking Professor Matusiewicz?
because I went to his class.
Because there is a police report filed that you went into Jonathan Matuza's class yesterday without authorization, stalking him. What's your opinion on that?
I don't have one.
Did you attend the class?
No.
You did not?
No, he asked me to leave.
But you did attend the class.
I didn't attend the class. He asked me to leave.
So you were there?
Sure.
Did you receive permission to attend the class before?
I don't have anything else to say to you.
And you don't find the stalking somewhat troubling?
I find a number of things troubling. I don't find myself to be stalking him.
What would you call it then?
Attending a class, doing research.
But you're not a student here without authorization to attend the class. There are rules against that.
Sure. He said to offer permission. He gave me his card. I took it. Pretty cordial. That's it.
Can you comment on the police report filed against you yesterday here at this university? No.
CARE's employee, Samantha Bowden, and CARE's director, Hassan Shibley, have conducted a 5-month smear campaign against UCF professor Jonathan Matuzitz. On October 1, 2013, CARE's Samantha Bowden was caught violating Florida statutes and UCF regulations by illegally attending and stalking Dr. Matuzitz during one of his classes. When a self-described civil rights group like CARE intentionally violates the civil rights of Dr. Matuzitz, where is the justice?
Bingo. Where is the justice? CARE violated laws via Samantha Bowden. What is going to be done about it? This happened on October 1st of 2013. So let's see where this goes. What is the date today? November 22nd. So about 3 weeks later. Let's see if action is indeed taken. But I really want to thank Christopher Logan for that and for him challenging Samantha Bowden to a debate on this program. Kudos for Christopher Logan of Logan's Warning and kudos for the Red Fox Blogger. Dun, da, da, da. Now, like I say, I did have Christopher Logan. He was going to be here, but he got called into work, and that is absolutely fine because you know what? In this day and age, when you have a job, you go to it. Boy, oh boy, you know, I'm so happy that people have a job to go to these days. It's really tough out there, guys. It's really hard. If you have a job, hug it, keep it tight, and go to it. So there you go. I am just grateful that Christopher did this for me. He went out of his way to do this, and I really appreciate that he did. Now, as I was saying, there are a few scheduling changes in the program tonight. Instead of Christopher Logan, who will be back at a later date, I also interviewed Tony Venuti of The Power of 10. I will play that interview for you a little later on. Right now, though, I have a young gentleman who has been hanging on for a very long time, and that is my EDL son, Tommy. Tommy English of the EDL. Hi, Tommy.
Hello.
How are you?
Well, got demo fever.
Oh, you got a demo tomorrow?
Well, technically today. It's 12:30.
Oh, for goodness sake, it's today for you over there. Oh, my goodness, son, you're like me. You never sleep. Well, I do. My body demands that I do, and so unfortunately I have to. But holy smokes. So where's the demo, and what time do you have to get up to be there?
Wakefield and 5 hours from now, technically. So I thought, well, I can't start a demo without calling into Kel's show. There won't be a demo.
You're a sweetheart. Oh, how far away is that for you this time?
Oh, about 80 miles. I could probably do it in about an hour.
That's not too bad. Not like Exeter. That one was a little far away.
Well, you know me, rain or snow.
Well,
don't care
my
how
God.
Far. I probably would have walked.
Well, believe me, I am not keeping you for the entire program. I'm going to insist that you go to bed, son.
Well, you know how stubborn I am.
Oh my goodness, you're funny. I love you.
Now,
what if the demos, they usually have a theme behind them. I know that the Exeter demo, for example, there was an issue with the university there. Now, what is the Wakefield demo going to be about? Is there a theme? Is there a reason why you're going there in particular?
Earlier on this year, one of our EDL angels was attacked 3 times in her own home where she was admitted to the hospital with a broken jaw. And she's got a real horrible scar on her face now. And they charged 6 Muslims, and they let every one of them go because of her association with the EDL.
Oh, for God's sake.
She brought it on
infuriating. I saw the photos of that young lady, and I read the circumstances of how she was attacked, and she did nothing to bring that on for one. And anyway, even if she was doing, it doesn't matter what she was doing. They attacked her to the point where she was unrecognizable, her face. And they were acquitted, eh?
I apologize. The cat's just jumped on my desk.
I got a cat right here by the floor. Go away, Mom's working. Oh, man. Well, you know what?
I should call this cat Tim Burton, really.
Meow.
Cat strangler.
Here, Timmy. Oh, that would be funny. Here, Timmy. Timmy, want your kibble?
Exactly.
There you go. Here, Timmy, come get it. Here you go. Oh, my gosh. I have a feeling Tim Burton is going to kill us. You know, though, I'm telling you, I really want to wish you the best of success there tomorrow. I'm glad I have you on the line because I wanted to ask you about the Lee Rigby trial. Now, it started on Monday, but it has since been postponed until next month or something, and that's the two characters that slaughtered drummer Lee Rigby in the streets of London there in the springtime. I also understand that there's some sort of publication ban on that. Is that true?
Yeah, David Cameron's banned the media blackout to avoid any sort of cultural sensitivity.
Cultural sensitivity. Oh.
Well, we both know which side of the spectrum they're trying not to offend.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's not like we don't know what happened. I mean,
It's like when the East London Mosque got done in. That was in the paper for 2 weeks, but it's now...
Yeah.
The name Lee Rigby sort of become like the media's Voldemort. You know, you can't mention his name, don't mention his name. So what they say now is they are on trial after a murder they did on the streets of Woolwich. They don't mention his name. They committed a murder on the streets of Woolwich. They don't say his name. And I think that's absolutely disgraceful. And not only we've got a marine in court.
Really?
Saying that he killed an insurgent that didn't comprehend to the Geneva Convention.
Oh, my God. And they still want to have a publication ban on his name. Tommy, you know what? I tell you, when I read something in the mainstream media, and that is going to be my topic in the later on in the program, when they report something and the name is withheld, you know what I always think? Muslim!
Oh, yes. When you think of the word Asian, you think, Muslim.
Oh, yeah. Well, the particular crime that they report on as well, eh? We had an incident here in Canada last week where 2 people were pulled over in their car because they had an incendiary device. Now, what that means, I have no idea, because an incendiary device could be a propane tank for a barbecue, for all we know, for goodness sake, with the regulations, the nanny state governments that we all know and hate so well. It could have been anything like that. But the names were withheld, so that kind of got the comment forum going, oh, Allahu Akbar. So when they withhold names for things like that, it does bring suspicious thoughts to our minds. We always think of this.
Silence! I kill you!
we do. But do you know the way how I see things in our countries today, Kel, in both Britain and North America, is that the next generation of children born with two government things, and that is the shackles of political correctness and the government enforced blindfold so they can't see what's happening. And it's people like me and yourself, those in the EDL in America, who've broken off them shackles and pulled off those blindfolds and saw what's really happening and said, I'm going to stand for this. But then you got those people who gladly just walk along in their little shackles and their blindfolds. Oh, that's racist, you can't say that, you can't say that. Well, I'm sorry, right, but there is nothing racist about loving your country and defending its culture and its heritage.
You better believe that. I couldn't agree more with that, because I'm getting quite sick and tired of this label of racism being thrown in my face every time I criticize Islam. And you know what they're doing at the OIC, the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, is that they're trying, in their 1618 anti-terrorist bill, and they're trying to introduce Islam as a race, and that criticizing Islam connotates an act of racism. Good luck with all that. I'm sick of it. I was talking with Poppy earlier today. I sent her a note to let her know that I was going to be running late, and she said, have you seen this? And so she sent this article to me. And I don't know if you folks brought it up on the EDL show today. I was, like I say, I was sawing logs and dreaming of Tommy and Jeff instead of being in the chat room where I belong. But Poppy sent this to me. A child of eight, they're racist. Children of eight are racist if they miss Islam, if they miss an Islam trip. What?
Yeah, we were discussing that on the show. Yeah.
Were you? Okay. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, going to get funny with a racist label on their school record throughout the rest of their education.
So, in other words, if the parents held back their kids from going to the so-called Explore Islam trip next Wednesday to Staffordshire University, they would be...
Oh, I just love the way you said that, then.
They would... Oh, my God. It would be racial discrimination if the parents withheld their children from attending this day trip. For goodness sake, I would hold my child back so fast, and I would send my own strongly worded a letter. And I would ask Care to come on the Red Fox Blogger and discuss it with me, but you know they won't. Oh, I love the letter here. Oh, gosh, Tommy, this is just priceless.
Oh, yeah, the letter was
sent out. This was sent out on Wednesday, folks. This is to the Littleton Green Community School. Dear Paired Carer, as part of the national religious education curriculum, together with the multicultural community in which we live, it is a statutory requirement for primary school-age children to experience and learn about different cultures. I can't do this with a straight face with that accent.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake. And so I can understand the parents' concern about wanting to hold the kids back from something like that.
Well, you can do it. But the thing that makes me laugh, though, is that they say, oh, well, you know, if you don't do that, you're going to be racist and all that. But I don't know if Jeff, since I'm going to embarrass Jeff for a second. Jeff's a member of the EDL, and Jeff's also scared of spiders. He's probably going to whip me after this.
Oh,
now,
I know, he's terrified of spiders.
Now, it would make me laugh if I went to Wakefield tomorrow and I saw a placard that said, oppose the EDL's racism, fascism, Islamophobia, and arachnophobia. Spiders are a race, too.
There you go. I stand up for spiders.
Yeah, spiders are people, too.
Let's embarrass Jeff. Jeff's not here to defend himself, so let's totally go for Jeff. I was talking with him on the phone a little while back, and so we're just chatting away, going over notes, doing whatever it is that EDL members do, right? And he turns, he went all silent. And it's like, Jeff? And he comes back to the phone kind of thing. He says, Kel, there's a spider right here. I don't know what to do. I have to get my neighbor to go get rid of it.
Oh, no.
The guy is EDL. I'm sorry, guys. We totally went 180 on this one. But Jeff is going to listen in archive and go, oh, my God, I'll kill her.
It's about 10 times the size of a spider. We could just get a glass, get a bit of paper under it. Job's done.
Yeah.
But of course, if the spider's wearing a veil shouting, Allahu Akbar, at him, then yeah, I can imagine him getting, I can understand why he'd get his neighbour to get rid of it.
Oh, I know. It's funny that Jeff will stand up to Islamist any day, and he'll stand up with his two fists. But when it comes to spiders, eek!
I know you all say Jeff is a very hardcore man, but he's just he's got a phobia of spiders. Bless. I mean, the only spiders don't really bother me. They used to do when I was younger, but now you just kind of don't bother you. But I mean, I am scared of bats. I do not like bats.
Oh, I don't like bats at all. I mean, I like looking at them when they're outside, but we had one run
fly,
into the house. Well, it didn't run, it flew into the house. And my cat caught this damned thing, and I'm downstairs working, and I can hear something going on upstairs, and all I could hear was this very, very high-pitched, and sure enough, my cat has got a bat in its mouth, and it's like, oh, my God, no, do not be eating the bat. I mean, she has her rabies shots and all that. I'm not worried about that, but, I mean, I don't like bats. Well, I do like bats, but just not in my house. So here I am trying to get the cat off the damn bat and get the colander out of the cupboard to cover the bat so that I can catch and release the damn thing. But I know what I'm getting Jeff for Christmas now. I'm getting him a spider farm.
Well, I was thinking of just getting him one of those, a jack-in-box with a spider on it.
Yeah.
So when it opened up, boing. I better not admit it. You might end up back in hospital.
Oh, Tommy, I should do that. Oh, gosh, that would just be perfect. I can just see him there Christmas morning, surrounded by his family, opening up his prezzies, and all of a sudden, boom, pop goes the spider.
The thing is, we better get serious. I used to be so scary. I mean, every time I saw a spider, I used to go, Mommy, there's a spider in my room. Did you come in and get it?
Agador in the chat room, he says, the cat caught the bat and it squealed like a rat. How about that? Oh, and Agador, he's saying, Kel, get him a spider with a burqa.
Yeah. Dear. Here, Agador, write to the 12 Days of Sharia song. On the first day of Sharia, my email
is Oh, you and I, we're going to have to get together and compose something. For the EDL
Sharia,
radio show, Christmas
special. An infidel in a pear
tree. Oh, we are so... Oh, you know what? I'm taking notes, Tommy, because you and I are getting together.
Yeah, well,
oh,
that's
hilarious.
This period.
Oh, but, you know, I'm not going to keep you for too long because you do have the demo coming up and you have to be up in 5 hours, and I'm going to move into the second portion of the show. But before I do let you go, what do you think will happen with this issue with the kids, the students? Yeah, Stacey Waldron, she has an 8-year-old daughter who's a pupil, and she said, I feel my child will be seen as a racist if I don't allow her to go, but this is my choice, not hers, and she shouldn't have to pay for it.
Well, it's absolutely pathetic. I mean, about a couple of years ago, we had a lad who got kicked out of school for saying to a non-white kid, are you black because you come from Africa? And they threw him out of school under charges of racism. And this kid was about, 5 years old?
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
they don't even understand the concept of racism.
Exactly. Yeah. If I was still in school, and if I said, if it was raining outside, if I said to a Muslim, to the Muslim girls, I went to my school, oh, can you lift your veil up for me, please, just so I can walk under it so I don't get wet? They would have gone mad at that. I will say this, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. When I was in school, we had this Muslim kid who had this horrible big black umbrella, and what did I shout out in the middle of assembly? Oh, look, he's bought his girlfriend a new hat.
God. No kidding. Oh, my God.
I was terrible.
Like, what? That's a moment for sure. What?
That was just it. That's it. By shirt and my collar and my shirt, I was dragged into the office.
For God's sake, Tommy. How did you survive this long with that nonsensical idiocy going on all around you? And it gets worse and worse in there over there. My goodness. Now,
well, they have to knock
pardon
my
me, 8-year-old children.
That's not my second year old.
Yeah, it just angers me when I come across these stories. And thanks to Poppy for sending it my way. Wow. Dear Parent Carer Islam Workshop, on Wednesday, the 27th of November, payment of £5 towards transport can be paid in cash at the school office. Thank you. Yeah, okay. Oh, for gosh sake. I wonder what's going to happen. Oh, you guys got to make sure you keep on top of this. I am very, very interested to see what develops here. So the school trip is supposed to be in 5 days from now. I would love to know. I hope there's a follow-up on this.
Well, when are they going to say to these Muslim kids, okay, we're taking on a mandatory trip, we're going to take you to a church or a synagogue where you'll learn how to pray to Jesus? When are they going to start doing that? Oh, wait, they won't. Why? Because I don't want to offend them. Then why is it that non-Muslim
don't want to offend them.
Have to have religion shoved down the throat? I mean, when you go to schools, you've got to say, what religion are you? So you're either Church of England, you're Jewish, you're Christian, you're Muslim, Hindu, Sikh, whatever. And then they should respect that. So when it says in the Quran that you must convert the non-believers, if not, you've got to slay them, imagine what these kids are going to feel like if they've got an imam up there saying to them, all right, you've got to convert now, or we're going to kill you. They've actually given out. Oh, what was? I think it was a school in Walsall that told kids how to convert on that day if they wanted to, and those who didn't face repercussions. For that. I mean, if you could imagine your 7-year-old son or daughter coming back from a school trip from a mosque, and when the parents say, "What do you do today?" So I converted to Islam.
Well, 9:29 said so. If you don't convert, we kill you. Oh, this is just insanity. There is absolutely no reason why these students should be attending this event. Explore Islam Workshop. Explore Islam Workshop. Explore this. And if you could see what I'm doing right now, they would probably put a fatwa on my head. But enough is enough of this, Tommy. There is absolutely no rhyme nor reason why these kids should be attending an Islamic workshop. When on earth are we going to wake up and wake up the masses? You and I, we're fully awake. People like you, people like me, people like Jeff and Tim, and people in my chat room. I mean, we're all fully awake. But it is we still got some real sleepers out there. We got some real sleepers and we got some real dimmies out there that will not recognize that Islam is not a religion. It's a damn political entity. And it is encroaching on us faster, further, more furious each and every single day. And when we see things like this, me and Tommy, we just know what's going on. This is part of the creepy crawly Sharia.
Yeah, and exactly that. I mean, we have a, well, it's not really a law, but it's a section, it's called Section 60AA, and that says all face coverings must be removed in public. Now, that is not a law, it's a section. It's a section that can be enforced, but you cannot get prosecuted under it. Now, if I've been told on ADL, I was, oh, you've got to take that off, or we're going to place you under arrest. What for? Because you've got a Section 60AA. So the section, right, is a Section 60AA in place in general? And they said, yeah.
Yeah.
We don't ask them to remove their burqas or their veils. And not only that, the other thing is the goddamn UAF walk around with their faces covered.
Oh, We have something going on up here in Canada, and in your case, over here in Canada, in
over
the,
there,
the province
over
of Quebec.
There.
Over there. The province of Quebec, they're trying to institute a values clause in their provincial constitution, and that would be no overt signs of religious garb or dress or decoration or anything like that. Now, what they're doing, of course, is that they're targeting the Muslims and the hijabs and the niqabs that they're seeing floating around in that province. Unfortunately, everybody's getting thrown under the bus. The Jews are getting thrown under the bus. The Christians are getting thrown under the bus as well, because this values clause is all geared towards stopping the encroachment of Islam in that particular province. And unfortunately, everybody else is getting swept into this values clause. So we have a real issue going on here, because we have to also technically protect our butts, in which if we discriminate against one so-called religion only, well, that then we're bigots. So instead of just targeting one particular group, the noisemakers, and Islam is the noisemaker, we have to sweep everybody under the bus, and to ensure that we are acting in terms of, well, it's an equal opportunity. How should I put this? It's not really equal opportunity. Well, they would think it's equal opportunity to rid the public of religious symbols, but it's a terrible mess that Islam has been creating. We've never had issues with religion ever in Canada, and I'm sure that's the same in England. I mean, the Sikhs never caused any problems. The Hindus certainly didn't. The Jews did not. It's only when Islam came to town that all the problems started to flare up. And now the various sectors of the government, the ones that are awake, are trying to curtail the noisemakers, but unfortunately everybody suffers because of it. See, Islam, wherever it goes, just creates problems.
Well, like we've always said, California's parents used a condom. A lot of trouble would have been saved.
Oh, yeah.
And the Middle East.
Do
you know what, right? Why is it that these Muslims are so unhappy? I mean, my younger brother says it's because they've got, you know, no brains on them and all that. Oh, they're unhappy because they feel unloved. I'm like, well, they don't do anything that makes them loved. You know, it's
gosh.
Islam is basically the first Nazism, and Nazism is European Islam. And then after that, you've got the Middle Eastern Islam.
Absolutely.
So when you've got these Nazis calls
got,
neo-Nazis, I'm sorry, right, but we're not neo-Nazis because we don't fight in Islam.
I've got somebody else here with their hand raised. I was wondering, do you want to stay with me for a moment, and we'll find out who this person is?
Yeah, I'll be here all night, believe it or not. So I eventually go.
All right. Hi, 7748. Welcome to the show. What's your name and what's your comment?
It's Jan. Jan Renee.
Hi, Jan.
Oh.
Jan.
Hi, I thought I'd bring you in.
Oh, ladies
and
gentlemen, this is... Oh, it's great to hear your voice. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jan Rennie. She is the leader of the Christian Defense League over there in England. Jan, it's great to hear your voice. How are you?
I've got Tommy English
with me right here.
Yes, I did hear him. How are you, Tommy?
Hello, Jan.
What I rang up for, Carl, was this conflict of sending children to this damn Islamic thing.
Yeah.
Well, we have a letter in CDL that we've had for some time, which people can download if they want. I'll publish it again and print off, and they can send it to the schools. It's quite legal to do so, where you are making your child exempt from any of the Islamic studies. There is a clause in there that so that it doesn't look like you're being prejudicial, to make them exempt from any other trips to religious places for any of the studies. It does, however, point out that the country is Christian, and they will lean towards Christianity rather than any other religion. I believe that if you sign this letter, it starts up a letter to the school to exclude your child from learning or visiting mosques and Islamic studies. You can put the head teacher's name in, you can put the school in, and the class teacher's name.
Mm.
And it says, we are sending this letter to you as we wish for our child, blah, blah, to no longer be taught anything in relation to the Islam religion. We have many reasons for this, which we will list below, including viable alternatives we are happy for them to be taught in. And then you sign it at the bottom. You print these off, you get them sorted for whichever school you want, and your child, by law, should be exempt. Because if you look at Christian schools that Muslims attend to, they are also exempt from being taught anything Christian.
I have a question, and this is actually inspired from the chat room, is that this particular venture that the school wants to expose the children to, the Discover Islam day trip, would that also include Discover Christianity, Judaism, Buddhism, and Hinduism? Are they going to do any of those trips, or
well,
is it
exactly,
just geared
mean,
towards discovering Islam, exploring Islam?
When you're reading this, it looks like everything else is exempt except for Islamic studies. Why are our children not being taught Christianity? Why are our children not being taken to cathedrals? Why are our children not being taken to churches? We have great cathedrals in England. Why are they doing school trips to there for the same price, even cheaper?
Yeah.
Major cities have cathedrals, all of them. Where's the invitation to
It
those?
Boggles my mind that It boggles
oh,
my
but
mind.
We don't want to offend the Muslims, Jan. Oh, we can't offend them.
Jan, you have a question from the chat room, and that's from Poppy, and she wants to know, shouldn't Michael Gove be approached on this?
Well, of course, yes. This is discrimination, right across the board, open discrimination against the children, against religion. I mean, we all know Islam is a cult. It's not a religion. It's being deemed as such, we're being brainwashed as such, and many people think, even today, that it's a religion. It's not a religion. It shouldn't be treated as such.
It's not a religion, and this is something that Tommy and I were touching upon, is that it's a political organization. They very much have designs on the West in that... They have no interest of assimilation. And that's what I was, Tommy and I were touching on that as well, in that they come here. We never had any problems with any other religion until Islam came along and they started all the disruptions. And it's a very, very aggressive political group. It's very aggressive. And they also are very arrogant. They have absolutely no compunction in shoving their ideology down our throats any way they can, Jan.
Their demands are relentless. But in part, Cal, I blame parents very much so. If I had my children at that school, I would have every parent at that school demanding a meeting in the hall. I would have them picketing outside the school gates. I would get arrested.
Yeah.
I would get arrested, and they could do what the hell they like.
Yeah, you would get arrested.
My child will not be indoctrinated. So in part, it's down to the parents. Get yourselves a committee in each school, and you make the demands. You don't have...
That is exactly it.
...Islamic imams or any of their followers in the mosques demanding that our children are indoctrinated into their pathetic, rebellious, treacherous faith. It is a murderous faith.
To quote Abba Wizardine, who's an Islamist in this country, we Muslims have been ordered to do brainwashing.
Yeah, well, they can stop the brainwashing. It's got to be stopped. This is where it's the same in the colleges, universities. These kids are going normal and coming out left-wing. And
I wish you guys could see the chat room. I wish you could see my chat room, because people in there are just furious listening to this. Lady Michelle, she's saying if she lived in that area, she'd walk up and down the street with signs telling the public what is going on. And these issues must be taken.
I'd be arrested. I'd make so much noise.
Yeah, yeah. You'd be inciting violence.
My grandson's seven, and he's just been pulled out of the system. He's now getting homeschooled. You know? But he wouldn't have been indoctrinated. No way. He's already got his own mind made up. But if we had a teacher in a classroom dictating, as they call it, extreme right-wing views, that teacher would be fired. They would never have another teacher.
Eric Kyle, he agrees with you. He says that he would sue the school as well if they branded his kids as racist. Eight-year-old kids. Holger's got to go.
Carol.
Thank you very much for being here, Holger. I'll see you later on, hon. Thanks a lot, Holger. Okay. But, yeah, this is just absolutely insanity. It's the math islamity.
Yeah, well, they have these racist books for minors. Four-year-olds, they start school in England. They start at four.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend had a grandson, and he's got a problem. He's got a learning difficulty, but he's not stupid. But like the boy that was reported last week about asking if an African boy was brown because he was from Africa, went in the racist book. And it was, when it first came to my attention, it was my friend who said that her daughter had been on the phone, really upset, crying that he'd been deemed as a racist at 5.5. Because he'd said something in the classroom, in the register. The mother says, what register, what book? They have a black book, Mummy, and it's called a racist book. And if we say anything, our names go down and we don't get a star for any of our work. You know those little stars when they're doing work to encourage them to be good pupils to learn? They're exempt from them stars for a week because they are racist.
Yeah, it's that bad now that even if you say black board or white board, you can end up in that book. That's what I have.
Listen, get it in the home. Teach them bar, black sheep. Teach them about blackboards. To hell with this white board.
Oh, I always say, get your kids out of public school. Oh,
yes, mine's out.
Because I can just see this school bowing down to the dimitude.
Yep.
Well, we've got to take them. Otherwise, we've got to take them. Oh, I can just see it now, Jan and Tommy. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you both go because I'm at the top of the hour and I am moving into a different segment. And Tommy, you got to get to bed and get ready for that demo tomorrow. And I want a full report on Sunday, son.
Yeah, I've just set my alarm now for 5 o'clock, and it's coming up 1 o'clock now. So
have a good day at the demo, Tommy, because I won't be there. I'm missing this one, unfortunately.
Oh, bless you, Jan.
But have a good day. And Kel, thank you for your time, and I'll hang up now.
Jan, anytime, always, and we'll be talking again very soon.
Yes, we will. Thank you, my love. Bye bye.
Thanks, Jan. And Tommy, thank you for being here too. You always make my day when I hear your voice. Believe me. But
thank you,
Tom. I'm going to release you. I'm not going to keep you on for the full 2 hours like I did the last time.
The one thing I want to finish on is some good news for you.
Okay.
I've started on my electronic cig.
You what?
I've started on my electronic cigarette.
Oh, congratulations. You did, did you? Oh, you know what? If you need any help with that, certainly Jeff and myself will be able to help you with that. Those saved my life. Oh, my gosh, I feel so much better doing that. You, Tommy, I'm so proud of you. How long have you been on them?
I started today, so, I mean.
Keep with it. It takes a little getting used to and filling the tanks and everything like that. But you know what I did? I was at my sister's place a couple of weeks ago, and there was a smoker there. And so I thought, I wonder what that tastes like. And now, keep in mind, this had been, I quit in January, 10 months ago. So it would have been, I pinched the odd cigarette here and there in between January and now, but I hadn't had a full cigarette since June. So I thought, I wonder what this tastes like. And I took a puff, and I just about gagged. It tasted so terrible. You're going to find that regular cigarettes have absolutely no appeal. That's why the e-cigarettes are just wonderful. They're lifesavers. And, Tommy, I'm very proud of you.
Yeah, I know. That's one of my first time. I was like, oh, God, this is awful. It did make me cough a bit. Because I know Yeah, well, I'm trying to it now, but if those of you who have my Facebook or Twitter, I will be putting pictures on as we go along tomorrow, since I've now got the Facebook finally working on my phone and Twitter.
Fantastic.
As well. So if you got me on Facebook, it's Facebook's Tommy English. You can find me through Kel's page, or if you got me Twitter, it's EDL_Tommy. And then you can tweet pictures as we go along.
I will be on the Twitter tomorrow looking for them.
Bless you, Kel. Tommy, okay, guys, I better go back to bed.
Thank you. Have a great demo. And just send me a quick email just so that I know you got home safe, okay? Because you know how Mama worries here.
That's 10 people I've got to sign in with.
And don't forget, we're Red for Canada.
I always
you
do.
You always do. Tommy, bless you. I'll talk to you tomorrow at some point, if not on Sunday, okay?
Okay, then, darling.
Okay, sweetie. Have a great night.
Bye-bye,
get some
guys.
Sleep and have a wonderful, successful demo.
Cheers, Kel.
Cheers, Tommy.
Bye-bye.
And that is my dear friend, Tommy English, of the English Defense League, LGBT division. I always messed that up, but I hope I got that right. We'll be at the Wakefield demo tomorrow. So, folks, if you're listening in England, I know it's late for you, but if you catch this in archive, please, if you're in the area, please try to get to the Wakefield demo. Join Tommy English, and let's show some little solidarity there, shall we? Now, what I'm going to do, we're at the top of the hour, I'm going to take a very short break, and then I want to come back and I want to share with you my interview with Tony Venuti of The Power of 10. We will be right back after this short break. I think this is an appropriate song to play. Here we go.
Living this way.
And welcome back, everybody. And just to remind you, pardon me, you're listening to the Red Fox Blogger, and I'm your humble host, Kel Fritzy. First of all, I really want to thank Tommy and Jan for calling in. And Jan and I are going to be working a little more closely together in the future. Just to let you know, there are some new and exciting changes coming to the Red Fox Blogger down the road, and we'll keep you apprised of that. But I want to thank the people who are joining me right now, and I have Sue from New Mexico listening in on the line. I have Agador with me. Kat is with me. Doc, thank you for being here. Eric, Kyle, I have some guests who are here. Lady Michelle, Paul Alexander, my poppy from across the sea. And we had some people pop in and out, including Holger Awakens, who had to go off to another show. I really appreciate it. And Vorpalbite just walked in the room. Hey, there you go, Vorpalbite, just in time for roll call. I also want to thank all of those that listen in archive and that listen on other devices, because if it weren't for you, there would be no me. There would be none of us. Now, moving into topic number two for the night, the power of 10. What is the power of 10 exactly? Well, it's an organization to keep the mainstream media to keep them accountable for their reportage. We always say that citizen journalism is catching up rather quickly. It is. As a matter of fact, citizen journalism is surpassing the mainstream media for what you want to hear, for what you need to hear, what's important to you, and that is the truth. Tony started up this organization, The Power of 10, to keep the mainstream media accountable for their behavior. Now, why would you want to picket the media? Well, illustrate if in any battle in the history of all wars, the first target contemplated to take place out first has always been communications. Now, you take the head off first. Once man's ability to coordinate actions, that is step one. So the power of 10 is about coordination and being kinetic and being active. Marshall McLuhan, he stated once, and you'll know this famous quote, the medium is the message. Each medium controls the message. Contemporary media outlets, i.e. NBC, ABC, CBS, manipulate the message in order to spread insidious pop culture mantra which opposes American values. The media is the voice of the left wing. As Joe McCarthy demonstrated, but defeated by the very enemy he was describing as being fact, the fact proved to be a fact by virtue of the Venona papers discovered after the collapse of the Iron Curtain. The dots were connected. In the 1940s, Operation Mockingbird, CIA's secret operations, controlled the media. Now, why the power of 10? Well, it will grow exponentially due to the limit of 10 per slot. And what that means is, on a 30-day month, if a single person commits to once every 10 days, she is committing to three times a month at locations. The map commands 10 groups to cover outlets, a daily saturation of their location. It will grow because people being people, when disappointed at not being able to join in, will be highly motivated to form a new power of 10. It is the psychological dynamic that will allow growth organically conceived and perpetuated. Natural law, the logical order of thought, cannot deny this success, and that is what it is, the power of 10. It's like that, you know what, I'm not going to speak too much more about it because Tony is going to tell you what it's all about. And this is Tony Venuti and the Power of 10.
Hello.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
Hello.
Welcome
Let
to
me
the Red
turn
Fox
down my
Blogger.
Volume. Well, thanks, Kelly. Thank you so much. Sorry
I am
for the technical
so pleased that you could be here.
Mm-hmm.
I have been trying to chase you down for weeks now to be on my humble little program, and I am so pleased that you are. I have been enthralled with your organization, The Power of 10, for a very long time. I thought it was very important that you explain to my listeners exactly what is The Power of 10 and why is it so important.
You ever think about the media sometimes over the years, and you ever wonder who died and left them boss?
Yes.
Yeah, I think a lot of us have, you know. They paint reality in a manner that makes us believe which live the way they deem it being the right way to live. We see pop culture. I grew up in the 50s, scratching my head, wondering why all the same three media outlets were always putting the same three stories on. The newspapers always having the same things. I always scratched my head like a child would scratch their head, knowing something wasn't right, but you just didn't know. I always had that sense of things. Well, you know, I'm a proud American. I grew up in a humble beginning in the 50s. My mother worked three jobs. My father wasn't around, and as a matter of fact, that's just another long story. The bottom line is a mother brought up three boys. Brought up three boys in a culture that saw the family and religion as the focal point of good and bad. I remember watching the movies, and you'd always know that right would prevail. And it always seemed to happen like that. But as a child, I saw pop culture turning bad behavior into sexuality and sensualness, sensuality. I saw that bad behavior started becoming popular. And who was making that behavior popular? Well, it was the Hollywood and the broadcasting and the whole nine yards. And you know, Joe McCarthy had it right. These are things that I haven't learned just until 5-10 years ago. And here I am, 62 years old, and there's things that I'm still finding out I didn't know. And what I see is the media has taken the silent majority that Nixon coined in the 70s and has them not silent, but silenced. And it's been doing so behind the idea of treating anything other than what is cool, hip, and sexy square to be pushed into the corner.
I like what you say in your... Oh, go ahead, Tony.
No, go right ahead.
Oh, I
you
just
like what
I'm reading your mission statement, and I'm really liking the one point that you're making about Marshall McLuhan, in which he stated the medium is a message, and each medium controls the message. Contemporary media outlets, i.e., NBC, ABC, CBS, they manipulate the message in order to spread an insidious pop culture mantra which opposes America values. That one was really caught me.
Isn't that succinct?
Oh, you just summed it up beautifully.
I mean, what it is it's a canoe that's been capsized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been capsized for over 50 or 60 years. And I want to write that because I don't want to live in the darkness of underneath that water. I don't want to live in that darkness of being in that pit of hell that the media is dragging us into one little step at a time. You know, the Communist Manifesto is a marketing plan for evil. And the whole notion of the left has been triangulated with the Frankfurt School. Are you familiar with the Frankfurt School?
I have a vague understanding of it, yes.
And that's how I do too, okay? But they are the, how shall I say, the technicians, the engineers that
mm-hmm.
took Marx's sit with some Freud and threw in the media because they understood that to get to a population was no longer a question of conquest. It was a question of psychology and philosophy and belief. And the first thing they understood was they had to get rid of family and religion. They had to make all things beautiful, ugly, and perverted. This was in their business plan. This is in their business plan. Well, let me put it to you like this, the power of 10. I'm going to give you the end picture. I'm going to give you the World Series seventh game result before the first game even begins.
Okay.
I'm going to say to you that in 90 days, you will see no more than 10 people peacefully being a nuisance outside on the sidewalk in public property. No more than 10 in every media outlet in the country in 90 days. Now, that sounds pretty far-fetched if you were to ask me until I explain it to you. But I'm going to explain it to you in such a way that the logical progression of thought will bring to you no other result except this result. And it's going to happen the only way it can happen, naturally, through natural law, through mathematics, through exponential growth, through the we live in the power
harmony.
Of 10. The power of 10 rejects the 11th person from coming on and joining the pit line. Because the 11th person is disappointed, he is encouraged to start another group of no more than 10 people. But to start that group, they have to only commit to 3 days a month. 3 days a month. I don't care how many hours over 4 hours that you do. I was originally thinking 10 hours, but that's too much to expect from people. So 4 hours or better, 3 days a month. And if you can't show up on a particular day, it's your responsibility to find a surrogate. Once you commit, we have to stay tenacious. We have
and
to stay committed.
And how exactly, what is the best avenue for people to join the Power of 10 and to take the mainstream media to task? Would that include things such as physical picketing outside of their establishments, their offices? Would it be inundating their inboxes?
No, the first tier is going to be on-site, okay?
Okay.
The people that are going to be disappointed will have an opportunity to drive around the block and beat their horn for 10 seconds just to support the people that are there for hours on end. But they're encouraged to start another Power of 10. Now, this is important. Imagine y'all working at the media station. You're one of the NBC employees in Toledo, Ohio. And you see these clowns out there with these little picket signs, and there's only 3, 4, 5, 6, no more than 10 of you. What are those people going to do? Are they going to get upset? Are they going to chuckle? They're going to look at us and they're going to chuckle. They will do absolutely nothing. They will do absolutely nothing on the first day. On the first day of that, it won't mean jack. Okay? Won't mean jack. 10 days later, here we are again. They look up and they do a double take this time. What is that? Is that those? Same thing. Turn your head, chuckle, chuckle. 10 days later, understand there might be groups in between doing it, but just one group, let me just play it, this one group out. The third time they start to see it, they go, aren't these people going to go away? Well, you think we're going to report on them? We're going to ignore them. You know, the media's tact is if a tree falls in the woods and there was no reporter there to report it, what, did it really happen? So
right. They
know this. They know this, okay? They know this, and it's that's going to make them go a fourth time. And by the fifth time, this is what's happening. And this could happen between the third, fourth, fifth, or sixth time. Because just like advertising, what's everybody say? They have to see the message 3, 4, 5 times, don't they, in advertising? Same thing with the same psychology. But here's the added twist. We'll be pronouncing this. Once this gets off, they'll know what we're up to when we start. So will their competitors from the other stations know what we're up to once it starts. Around the fourth or fifth time, they're going to say, wait a minute, what's this guy all about? What's this group all about? Not only are they saying that, but their competitors at ABC and CPS are saying, maybe we ought to go out there and interview them. We can't all stand together and ignore him because it doesn't look like he's going to go away. In between these 2 or 3 weeks, in between these 2 and 3 weeks, we're social mediaing it to death, aren't we? Mm-hmm. We're putting videos that people take and all that, and we're having hundreds of people pushing them this way and that way, and you know how that goes. 2 times 2 is 4. 4 times 4 is 16.
And so on and so on and so on. Yeah,
exactly.
It's like that
okay.
old shampoo commercial.
Right. Now, here's where critical mass builds. Trust me when I tell you this. By the fourth or fifth time, and there's some media coverage, local and or national, on top of what's been going out there from a social network standpoint, which, by the way, that social network standpoint during the first, second, third week could propel the national media from getting onto it faster than I'm predicting. Okay? But even without the social networking, as soon as a media outlet within the same city or a national or what, as soon as it goes national like that, critical mass will hit. You'll see 10, 20 power of 10s starting the following day. Now you'll have media coverage, separate media coverage from all of those outlets around the country. Then you'll see 100 join, and then 500. I mean, it's, to tell you the truth, Kelly, I've got nothing except my bare bones. I published a newspaper for 25 years. I'm a database marketing manager type. I understand all that. But I also understand I've got 2 arms, 2 legs, and I only can do so much in 24 hours. So we're going to play it out, and I'm sure I will find leaders as we start to nudge this snowball downhill. And much like a snowball that's on a very high hill, that's on a very high hill, it'll take some nudging. But at a certain point, that snowball, is about the size of a bowling ball now.
And that's exactly part of your mission statement, is that it can and it will grow exponentially. And I love this. Why the power of 10? Because it will grow exponentially due to the limit of 10 per slot on a 30-day month. If a single person commits to once every 10 days, he or she is committing to 3 times a month at locations. And the math commands 10 groups to cover outlets at daily saturation of their location. It grows because people, being people, when disappointed and not being able to join in, will be highly motivated to form a new power of 10. I think this is a fantastic pressure
group.
So you
get that. I explain it so that you get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah, this is a great pressure group, and I think it's one that the mainstream media will be rather apprised of, and I suspect in the near future. The American people, the Canadian people, the European people, mm-hmm. the Australian people, all the peoples in the free world are getting sick and tired of their news being oppressed by mainstream media. Mainstream media has to realize one thing, is that they have a lot of competition, and it's people like you and myself, Tony, right?
You want to hear my analysis of that competition, because you've been hearing now on cable. Fox, and you know, thank God for Fox, because as much as they're the second, as much as they're a rhino network, they're not conservative. They call Tea Party people radical, and Fox News almost exists because of that. But thank God for Fox, because without their voice, they would be able to roll over us. Now, that being said. Mm-hmm. What even Fox was saying was, oh, this Internet. Ooh. Man, there's too many people saying the wrong thing. Anybody can say anything out there. Ooh. Anybody can say anything out there. Ooh. Well, you know what? It's pretty funny. It's like going into a new city that you emigrated from the East Coast, and all of a sudden people that's been there only one generation look at you and say, man, you're really filling up this city. I wish you'd go away. Meanwhile, they weren't the indigenous people either, but they were there before you, so they got the rights to say, what are you doing here crowding my field? And that's how media is. When network news first learned of cable, tell me the network didn't say the same thing about cable that cable now is saying about the Internet. The exact same thing.
I
they're saying
think
the exact same thing. It's because they hate competition.
Analysis.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really about I've got mine, and I don't want anybody pushing me out. And yes, I've got a legitimate check and jive in order to sell my point to convince you with. But the bottom line is, I don't like you because you're a threat to me. Because you're a threat to me, I need to be in total control. And if I'm not in total control, then you represent yourself to me as a threat. And I'm going to say whatever I need to say, even if my virtue, my elitist, doesn't admit to themselves on the real reason why I'm doing it. This whole media thing is about I've got mine. Now let me stay in control of what is mine. Anyway, I'm losing it right now. But hey, I really appreciate what you're doing.
Fantastic. And the one thing that I like too is what you have to say here about 1 million people divided by 10 will each represent one government-supported media outlet. Each we hold you to account. And I love this too, is that the federal arbiters of truth and objectivity, a.k.a. FATO, have decreed that only the federal government in the hands of correctly thinking adults is to be validated, sarcasm notwithstanding. The media ocracity is simply a description of such elitist behavior that we, the people, will stand in opposition to the state-run media complex, lies of omission, inciting rather than inspiring anti-business agenda. And the lies of omission, that is one that really sticks in my craw, because the mainstream media is more than capable of doing that, and the sheeple just follow along, Tony.
Yep. Yeah, that's good. Am I coming in okay?
And they do. Oh, you are sounding fantastic. But I love that, the lies of omission.
And here's the other thing. Do you know what the duty is of the media? The duty is of the media is on behalf of the people to put a check on the government, not for the media to be a propaganda arm of the government.
Exactly. And that's what the mainstream media, we know that they're the cheerleaders for the leftists, and we are certainly witnessing that in the United States. You're certainly seeing that, is that the MSM is nothing more than a spokes organization for the Obama administration in particular. They love the lies of omission when it comes to this guy. I mean, this man will not come to terms with the fact that we're wising up to him, and it's not because of mainstream media, it's because of alternative media, and this is what you are doing with the power of 10. We're on to them. Obama will never come clean with Fast and Furious, nor Benghazi, nor anything like that, and the mainstream media, they enable that, and this is what the power of 10 is. That's why this organization is so important.
Well, I think it'll work, and I'm getting a lot of people. Just this, I want to do a little shout out to Andrew Breitbart's silence.
Oh, please
one,
do.
1 million people, we will not be silenced. The admins to that group sort of pushed a little traffic, and about 50 people signed up today and today alone. So that was really pretty cool. I want to thank her for that.
Great.
And that was Andrew Breitbart, 1 million. Silenced no longer. I forget how that is. Let me see if I can find that. Breitbart. Yeah, Breitbart. One voice silenced, millions awakened. And I want a little shout out to them. And if you're on Facebook, you might want to like that page. That's Breitbart. One voice silenced, millions awakened. And I appreciate what they did, Kelly.
Wonderful.
And I appreciate what you're doing too. How often do you do the show now?
My regular taping is Mondays at 3 p.m. Eastern Time and Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern Time. We're having this show specifically because, like I say, I was chasing you down. It's like, oh, please, Tony, come on, my show. But the time zones are so difficult. But, no, I'm just so glad. I'm going to replay this on the Friday show for all the regular listeners that would never expect to hear the Red Fox Blogger at 11 o'clock at night. I'm going to definitely replay this for them to listen to.
Did you hear my shows when I did my shows live?
You know what? You were before my time when I joined Blog Talk Radio. I have you on my favorite radio programming list, and I'm going to be listening to a lot of you in archive to catch up on the man behind the genius. Once again, we have been in contact off and on for over a year, and I see that you post so many wonderful, inspiring columns and so on and so forth, and this is why I was so drawn to you. It's because that you don't talk the talk, you walk the walk. And this latest endeavor, the Power of 10, is just another inspiring reason why people really have to pay attention to when you speak. People really should listen, because, ladies and gentlemen, when Tony Venuti speaks, he's not selling you a bill of goods. He is telling you the truth. And this latest, The Power of 10, and the mainstream media, is something that you really want to be involved with. I like this movement, Tony. I liken it to what Wild Bill for America is doing with the Teens Party. And that is,
you know, he's
breaking
I like
it down
this video.
A bit.
He's really pretty good, isn't he? He's really pretty good.
Oh, he's wonderful. He's a wonderful, wonderful patriot. And his latest endeavor is very, very similar to yours in that we're breaking it down, folks. We are getting a group of like-minded people together, and we are exponentially going to grow. And we are going to get our heads together. We're going to think of ways. Wild Bill, he is concentrating on the Obama administration. You are concentrating on the mainstream media. I think you two,
exactly.
You two should meet. I can see you two in a room together.
Yeah, because I'm
you
really...
You guys would... between the two of you, oh, my gosh, you would get so much more accomplished in one day than we could do in 100 years.
There's lots to go around for sure. You know, and I do, so many people get sidetracked with politics, but you know what drives politics?
Yeah.
It isn't the economy. The economy doesn't drive politics. It's our culture that drives the economy. It's our behavior that drives the economy. It's our morals or lack of morals that drive the economy. It's our virtue or lack of virtue that drives the economy.
Yeah.
The behavior dictates what one does. And your behavior is a reflection on your belief system. And if you don't have a strong belief system that speaks to the values that we as Americans grow up with in terms of family and church. And when I say church, I'm not a churchgoer, but I believe in good and evil. And I know there's a God.
Oh, yeah.
And I know there's right from wrong. And the way I see God is I seek God in truth. I don't seek truth in God. I seek God in truth.
That's a wonderful way to phrase that. And that is true. That is so very, very...
Because we can get blindsided with this.
Yeah.
It's important not to be totally blindsided behind one's zeal for their religious belief. I can speak about truth without ever mentioning God and be as godly as the next person, because truth is God. It's a chicken and egg question, you know?
I don't know what to say about that, because it's like you're reading my mind. I have no response to that in terms of anything that I, like, humble me. Get add on to that, because Tony, you just summed it up for the both of us.
Yeah. No, no. It's keep it simple, stupid, right?
Yeah, there you go. Another thing I like.
Why redesign truth?
One thing I like about the power of 10, too, is that you make a very, very powerful statement here. And I don't even have to read too far into it for people to get it, and that is conservatism is not radical. And that liberal politics, and you alluded to this a little earlier, liberal politics that tip the canoe of liberty must be righted, and we, the people, to the power of 10, will be not a fly on the wall, but hornets in a nest at a picnic. I got to be loud.
Now,
and
I'm going to give
it
you
really
a,
bothers me when I hear about all those radical conservatives, all those Tea Partiers,
yep.
Oh, for goodness sake,
yep.
All those
exactly.
Power of 10, oh, there they are on the streets again.
There you go.
Well, you know,
there
we're not
go.
Being
That's
radical. We are the people.
That's right. That's right. You who are trying to take we the people from the cornerstone of America are the radicals. See, what happens is this. The anti-war demonstrators of the 60s and the 70s, the anti-war generationists, I call them, are now the grandfathers or the fathers of the very people who are now in Washington. In other words, they accomplished their mission. They were able to usurp their ideology from ours by getting into power. The anti-establishment right now is, in fact, the establishment. But they're still anti, and that's the only way they know how to be is anti. And what they are anti is anti-American, anti-constitutional conservative. They're the anti-establishment as the establishment working as anti.
And it is anti, and that really is something else in the anti phraseology that you use. Why are they anti? I don't understand.
How did they get
the
culture brought
them
that way?
The Republic for... No, go ahead.
It's all Marxism. It's all Marxism. We were trained to, first of all, disregard family, not to trust anybody over 30.
Oh, I could talk with you for 4, 5, 7 hours, days, months about cultural Marxism.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
What we taught was
to be a victim. That in the 50s, the first thing I saw was Queen for a Day. I don't know if anybody remembers Queen for a Day, but in the 1950s, it was a show that pitted
welfare type. That was almost like, that would be our equivalent of The Price is Right sort of thing, a game show, right?
Well, sure, but The Price was Right, but they had to convince others of why they deserved more pity than the next person.
Oh, Queen for a Day, that's right. The poor beleaguered housewife.
Yes. Who it may be a single mother, maybe a welfare mother. They were poor.
Yeah.
And they just had to convince the audience which one was the poorest. And for that,
and that's
they
when
were
they would
awarded...
relate their sob stories. That's when they would go on television and relate their sob stories, right?
Yes. And that's when it all started, the victimization, because all of liberalism is taking care of a victim. Liberalism is the sanction of the victim. Liberalism is giving an excuse to the victim to be the victim. And my attitude is, if you really want to proclaim being a victim, then you must have to accept being a loser. And anybody with self-esteem or pride should never kneel to that or bow to that. And I remember thinking as a child, my mother would never do that.
Yeah.
We had meager means, but we had pride. And liberalism steals pride.
Yes.
Takes it right from you.
What happened to the days of self-perseverance and taking pride working hard and working hard for your family and digging ditches if it came to that. Now we seem to be living in a cult of people are almost proud to be on the welfare dole, as it were. And the, getting back to the power of 10, and the media does perpetuate that sort of groupthink.
Well, they created
and
that.
The Obama administration certainly has helped it along.
Well, they just took it to the they put it this way. Instead of working in behalf of the victim, trying to get them out of the victimology, which was never successful, because the liberals always do it under the guise of trying to help you, even when they're not.
Yeah.
This is the first administration that says, oh, our helping you is actually giving to you, and we're going to give you as much as we can, and yes, yes, yes. So now it's really out in the open. Before, subliminally, politicians didn't want to be seen as necessarily not holding people accountable for what they didn't have. Now the excuses for what they didn't have are coming out full force. And it's the media that perpetuates the myth. And they're in cahoots with Hollywood.
It must drive you to the point of frustration where you bang your head against a wall. When we're in the same age bracket, I'm 50, you're 52, and we
are. I'm 62.
You're 62. Okay, you sound 42. Oh no, you sound 22.
No.
I'm terrible. But we have seen so much going on about us in our years, and we have seen the destruction of news reportage, as it were. We're not getting news reports anymore. We're getting media spin. And it's very much affecting, especially today's youth. I know, for example, that the mainstream media, they were behind the re-election of Barack Hussein Obama, never mind the first election, because the MSM spun him so well that people were voting for a rock star, not a rock-solid politician. And that's what the power of 10 is trying to bring to the attention of the people, is that this is what you're being fed. You're being spoon-fed spin. I love this. And I love it that we finally have an organization out there that is saying, no, you know what? We're taking the MSM to task, and we mean serious business. We are not just going to sit here and whinge and whine and complain about it. No, we're going to take to the streets with it. I love street movements. I truly do. And I love that you are taking back conservatism and returning it back to where it belongs, in the hands of the people, and not as a radicalized ideology.
Kelly, the important point I want to make out too is people will come to me and say, oh, you know, I boycott the news people already. I boycott them. Let me play dum-dum to you. What if somebody boycotts something, what did you just do? When you boycott something, what did you do? Nothing, correct?
You stopped patronization.
You didn't do anything. You did not act. You're a non-action.
No, you just stopped patronizing. You didn't stand up and say why.
It's a non-action. It's a non-action. A. B. Who knows about it? And if anybody were to know about it, who else would know about it if it wasn't reported? To me, when I talk about, when someone says to me, boycott, you know what I tell them? I say, that's like you not taking the poison. I'm going to get the people that are poisoning others. You might keep yourself from eating the poison, but how about the people that are poisoning all those other people who can vote, who can affect your life by the way they vote, while you simply don't take the poison. Meanwhile, other people are out there poisoning people. It's sort of like putting a rain jacket on but not stopping the rain.
That's exactly it. And what I'm going to do is that we are down to our last 2 minutes, but I'm going to go into a little bit of overtime, Tony, because I want you to wrap up for my listeners. This will be going live to tape, ladies and gentlemen, for a later episode of the Red Fox Blogger. I have explained that I have been trying to hunt this man down for the longest time to get him here, and our schedules are conflicting. I am so pleased, though, that I can take this to an MP3 and bring it to you at a later date. And, Tony, I so do much appreciate your taking time out of your busy schedule to be here, and it's such a late hour for you. You are such a gracious man for doing this. I'm going to give you the last few minutes to explain to explain to everybody exactly what we have to do in terms of the power of 10.
Thank you very much, Kelly. I'm happy to have met the Red Fox. Okay, now on the power of 10, the power of 10 is our ability to influence the messenger by taking back the message. We are going to embarrass the media as they embarrass and ridicule us. We are going to command attention by not leaving their premises 10 people every 10 days. For every city that has 3 radio stations, three TV stations, it will take 300 people to saturate daily, every media outlet, 7 days a week, every day of the week, forever. And that's just a commitment of 3 days a month, of 4 hours a day, and you can find a circuit. You can find it. Just put down the top or pick up the media. You'll find me. Kelly, I appreciate it very much.
Tony, I appreciate your time and your commitment and your organization very much. You have an open invitation to come back here and keep the listeners apprised as to what is going on with the Power of 10. I'm very excited about this movement. I am always so honored to speak with people who are active. And you don't sit behind a keyboard, Tony. You are out there. You're on the streets, and you're keeping people awake about what is going on. It is my honor.
For many of our vets, the real battle is only beginning. With high unemployment, post-traumatic stress disorder, and life-altering injuries, coming back to civilian life can be a difficult journey. We can't wait for the government to solve the problems our veterans face. We must help those who have given so much in defense of our freedom. Unforgotten Heroes is an organization dedicated to assisting our veterans in whatever way is needed in their transition back to civilian life. Please visit unforgottenheroes.org to find out what you can do to help. You can also find Unforgotten Heroes on Facebook. And remember, no hero should ever be forgotten.
And let's be that a hero to save us. I'm not going to stand here and wait. I'll hold on to the wings of the eagle. Watch him go.
Reactionary Speak Radio Program.
Do I really look like a guy with a plan? You know what I am? I'm a dog chasing cars. I wouldn't know what to do with one if I caught it.
The Reactionary Speak Radio Program.
I try to show the schemers how pathetic their attempts to control things really are.
The Reactionary Speak Radio Program.
Introduce a little anarchy. Upset the established order, and everything becomes chaos. I'm an agent of chaos. Oh, and you know the thing about chaos? It's beer.
Friday night, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, here on BTR.
I will ask this once again. Is there no way out?
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Again, I'm saying, is there no way out?
And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives.
I did not ask you about your existence. I know about your existence. I know about the history. I know about the truth. I teach the history and I teach the truth. And again, I will ask you, is there no way out?
You don't want the truth because these damn places you don't talk about in parties. You want me on that wall. You need me on that wall.
If I didn't want the truth, I wouldn't be asking you for the truth. I wouldn't be asking for your opinion. I don't care about what wall you sit on because Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall and when he fell, he was done. So now I will ask you this one last time. Is there no way out?
Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
And seeing that our officials refuse to give us the answers, they refuse to give us the truth, they refuse to tell us what we deserve as Americans, well then you can find that truth and you can find the answers. Every Saturday night, Blog Talk Radio, Reactionary Speech Radio Network at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with the show, Is There No Way Out?
Thank you.